Today is the 13th day of April. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Wonderful, as always, to be here with you. Grateful to be here with you today. As we gather and begin a work week, as we gather and leave the cares of whatever is out in front of us, outside the circle where we can just come in here and there's just permission to kind of let it go. Because we're not like letting anything go like permanently, or maybe we are, but not to avoid it. We're just giving ourselves permission to be in a safe place where repair can happen and where the scriptures can speak very deeply into where we've been, where we're going, who we are, who God is, and lead us. And so grateful to be here with you today for the next step, which leads us back out into the book of Joshua. We have finally gotten into the promised land. Finally. Like, we were in the land when it was promised with Abram, who became Abraham. Like, we were in the land when he looked at the stars and God promised him numerous, infinite offspring. So we've wandered through here with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob throughout this land. But then this drought happened, and right, and Joseph was sold into slavery, trafficked by his family, and strange twist of fate, he becomes second in command of all of Egypt, and a great drought happens, which brings the family to Egypt, ultimately, where they stay over four centuries. And in that time, Joseph and all the story is forgotten. But the story of this promised land is mythic. It's interwoven into the Hebrew culture. And it's still there. And that's when we meet up with Moses and this grand exodus that takes place and this wilderness journey that speaks so deeply about our own stories and our own journeys through wilderness times in our lives, which we all have, the deep canyons that, well, they seem so deep you can't get out sometimes. So through that whole wilderness story, the spies going into the land, a whole generation disqualifying themselves, this whole generation of kids that should have grown up in the promised land had to end up crossing the Jordan River, which we've just done. Moses has died. Joshua is the leader. They have crossed the Jordan River and memorialized it in a miraculous and in a memorial way. And then the walls fell of the first city, the city of Jericho. All of these places like are vivid in my imagination. Like, I know exactly where they gathered at the Valley of Shittim, the plains of Shittim, to go across the Jordan River. And Jericho is, like, within sight. So all of this stuff is there. So they cross the Jordan River, take Jericho. They're going to take this next village, this little village called Ai, because it's just really nearby, and they're just going to go and conquer it and continue moving. They are defeated, though, by this little village. And that's kind of what brings us up till where we are now. That freaks everybody out. Joshua is freaking out. Like, why did you bring us over here? Like, when word of this spreads, everybody's going to gang up, become allies, and defeat us and destroy us. We should have just stayed on the other side of the river. Just another echo of, we should have just stayed in Egypt as slaves. So, God tells Joshua, yeah, the covenant is already broken. Like, yes, all of the things have happened, but the promise has already been betrayed. Somebody has taken plunder, and this is not going to work. So we pick up the story, Joshua chapter 7, verse 16 through 9, verse 2. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought forward Israel, tribe by tribe, and the tribe of Judah was selected by lot. And he brought forward the clans of Judah and selected the clan of the Zerahites by lot. Then he brought forward the clan of the Zerahites one by one, and Zabdi was selected by lot. He brought forward his family one by one, and Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was selected by lot. And Joshua said to Achan, "My son, please give glory to Yahweh, the God of Israel, and give him a doxology in court. Tell me, please, what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "It is true. I have sinned against Yahweh, the God of Israel. And this is what I did. I saw among the spoil a beautiful robe from Shinar, 200 shekels of silver and one bar of gold that weighed 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent, and the silver is under it." Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there they were, hidden in his tent, and the silver was under it. And they took them from the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites. And they spread them out before the presence of Yahweh. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons and daughters, his cattle and donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and everything that was his, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring us trouble? Yahweh will bring you trouble on this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. Then they placed on top of him a great pile of stones that remains to this day. And Yahweh turned from his burning anger, and thus the name of that place to this day is called the Valley of Achor. Then Yahweh said to Joshua, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and go up immediately to Ai. Look, I am giving into your hand the king of Ai, his city, and his land. You will do to Ai and its king that which you did to Jericho and its king. You may take only its spoils and livestock as booty for yourself. Set for yourself an ambush against the city from behind it." So Joshua and all the fighting men went up immediately to Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 of the best fighting men and sent them by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Look, you are to lay an ambush against the city from behind. Do not go very far from the city and be ready. Then I and all of the people who are with me will approach the city. And when they go out to meet us as before, we will flee from them. They will come out after us until we draw them away from the city, because they will think they are fleeing from us as before. So we will flee from them. Then you will rise up from the ambush and take possession of the city, for Yahweh, your God, will give it into your hand. And when you capture the city, you will set it on fire as Yahweh commanded. Look, I have commanded you." So Joshua sent them out, and they went to the place of the ambush, and they sat between Bethel and Ai, to the west of Ai, but Joshua spent the night with the people. Joshua rose early in the morning and mustered the people, and he went up with the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. All the fighting men who were with him went up and drew near before the city and camped north of Ai. There was a valley between him and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai to the west of the city. So they stationed the forces. All of the army was north of the city while the rear guard was west. But Joshua went that night to the middle of the valley. When the king of Ai saw this, the men of the city hurried and rose early and went out to meet Israel for battle, he and all his army, to the meeting place before the Arabah. He did not know that there was an ambush for him behind the city. Then Joshua and all Israel acted like they were beaten before them, and they fled in the direction of the wilderness. All of the people who were in the city were called to pursue after them. As they pursued after Joshua, they were drawn away from the city. Not a man remained in Ai or Bethel who had not gone out after Israel. They left the city open and pursued after Israel. Yahweh said to Joshua, "Stretch out the sword that is in your hand to Ai, because I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched out the sword that was in his hand to the city. The moment he stretched out his hand, those in the ambush stood up quickly from their place and ran. And they went into the city and captured it, quickly setting the city ablaze with fire. And the men of Ai looked behind them, and they saw smoke from the city rising to the sky. They had no power to flee this way or that. And the people fleeing the wilderness turned around to the pursuers. And Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had captured the city and that the smoke of the city was rising. They returned and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others from the city came out to meet them, and they found themselves surrounded by Israel, some on one side and others on the other side. And they struck them down until no survivor or fugitive was left. But they captured the king of Ai alive, and they brought him to Joshua. When Israel finished slaughtering all the inhabitants of Ai in the open field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when all of them had fallen by the edge of the sword, until they all had perished, all Israel returned to Ai and attacked it with the edge of the sword. All the people that fell on that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the inhabitants of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand that was stretched out with the sword until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of Yahweh that Joshua commanded. So Joshua burned Ai and made it an everlasting heap of rubbish, a desolate place until this day. The king of Ai he hanged on a tree until the time of evening. And as the sun went down, Joshua commanded them, and they brought down his dead body from the tree. Then they threw it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and they raised over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then Joshua built an altar on Mount Ebal for Yahweh, the God of Israel, as Moses, Yahweh's servant, commanded the Israelites, as it is written in the scroll of the law of Moses, an altar of unhewn stones on which no one has wielded an iron implement. And they offered burnt offerings on it and sacrificed fellowship offerings. And there Joshua wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the Israelites. Then all Israel, foreigner as well as native, with the elders, officials, and judges stood on either side of the ark before the priests and the Levites, who carried the ark of the covenant of Yahweh. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and the other half in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, Yahweh's servant, had commanded before to bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, according to all that was written in the scroll of the law. There was not a word from all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before the assembly of all Israel, and the women, the little children, and the traveling foreigners among them. Now, when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the Shephelah and on the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites heard this, they gathered themselves together to fight with one accord against Joshua and Israel. Luke 16, 1 through 18. And he also said to the disciples, a certain man was rich who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this person was squandering his possessions. And he summoned him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give the account of your management, because you can no longer manage. And the manager said to himself, what should I do? Because my master is taking away the management from me. I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I should do, so that when I am removed from the management, they will welcome me into their homes. And he summoned each one of his own master's debtors and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of olive oil. So he said to him, take your promissory note and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your promissory note and write 80. And the master praised the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are shrewder than the sons of light with regard to their own generation. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it runs out, they will welcome you into the eternal dwellings. The one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and the one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you your own? No domestic slave is able to serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and will despise the other. You are not able to serve God and money. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him, and he said to them, you are the ones who justify themselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For what is considered exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. From that time on, the kingdom of God has been proclaimed, and everyone is urgently pressed into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to become invalid. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and the one who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. Psalm 82. God commands justice. A Psalm of Asaph. God stands in the divine assembly. He administers judgment in the midst of the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show favoritism to the wicked? Selah. Judge on behalf of the helpless and the orphan. Provide justice to the afflicted and the poor. Rescue the helpless and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know or consider. They go about in the darkness so that all the foundations of the earth are shaken. I have said, you are gods and sons of the Most High, all of you. However, you will die like men, and you will fall like one of the princes. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, because you shall inherit all the nations. Proverbs 13, 2 and 3. From the fruit of the mouth of a man, he shall eat what is good, but the desire of the treacherous, wrongdoing. He who keeps his mouth guards his life. He who opens his lips, ruin belongs to him. Okay, so as we continue this journey of crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land and Jericho and Ai and that defeated Ai, the children of Israel searching for their answers, and they got them. A man named Achan had stolen plunder from Jericho, breaking promise, breaking covenant, betraying the covenant, despite God's command that everything was to be destroyed. And things didn't end well there. Covenant was broken, an unpleasant end. Achan allowed a lust to instigate what he knew was wrong. Anything in our lives that we will exalt above God, or that would interfere with the relationship, the connection, the covenant with God, is probably an idol. Nothing good ever comes from the thing that leads us further away from covenant, from the promises that we've made, from God. Jesus talks about the same thing in the Gospel of Luke today. Nobody can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. So Old and New Testaments are bringing themes of faithfulness, of being true to the promise, to the promises, to the covenant, and obedience. These are qualities that are irreplaceable on any path that leads anywhere near wholeness. So we can't underestimate this, like Achan. It's a cautionary tale. Continually we ask God to give us what we want or what we need, but we often, like, we want it to be given to us without having to obey and without having to be faithful. But God doesn't work that way. He's not going to give us things that are going to get, are going to gain control over us and ultimately replace the connection we have to him in covenant, his sovereignty in our lives. And that has nothing to do with an insecure God. He won't do it because he loves, because he doesn't want us to be destroyed, and we follow these paths of destruction. Not everything that we want, not everything that we reach for, has anything to do with what is best for us or for those that we love. So as we ask God to intervene, we have to consider the implications. Are we being faithful to God? Is what we're asking for something like we can truly handle? Jesus said, if you are faithful in little things, then you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you're not going to be honest with greater things. responsibilities, and if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches, the heavenly riches? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why would you be trusted with things of your own? So, Father, we invite you into that language, faithfulness, being true to, being loyal in. If we are not faithful in the little things, we will certainly find ourselves being unfaithful in the big ones. And if we are willing to lie about the little things, then we are certainly going to be willing to lie about the big ones. These are pathways to collapse and chaos. And so the thing that changes that path, the roadblock to that path, as we're reading in scripture, is called faithfulness. So may we walk through this day faithful to our promises to you and anyone else that we're in covenant with. Lead us into all truth, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app, this is home base as well. So be familiar, get familiar. Make sure you grab the app. Very soon we're going to start telling the story, because very soon we'll have this kind of move dates. And there's a lot to tell, so looking forward to that. Trying to just give teasers, because it's coming. But I'm not going to say it until I know it. So it's been too winding of a road for that. So I mentioned, you know, the other day, just keep this in your prayers, because yeah, we're moving into a whole new era. And so I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, have the 1.0, have the current app downloaded. From whatever app store works with your device. That way, as this update, as everything does, all things become new, you'll be able to update easily. Okay, so make sure you do that. While you're checking things out, check out the community section. That is where you'll find different links to the different social media channels that we participate in. That's a good thing to follow along, especially as we're going to be transitioning and stuff. So announcements about that, behind the scenes about that, updates, discussion. Yeah. Be familiar with the links in the community section. This is a great time for that. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you deeply, humbly, truly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Divers. This is Kay from Ohio. I wanted to pray for Sandra. My sister, I'm sorry for how you're feeling. You wouldn't believe how many people can relate to what you're going through, who are in it with you right now, have already been in it. But one thing I know for sure is that God is faithful. And just because you're done doesn't mean that God is done. Thank you, God, for our sister. I ask that you hold her up on every leaning side. Thank you for giving her the right mind to call in, to get prayer, to get strength, to get wisdom, to find peace that only you can give. God, I ask that you just make ways right now that she doesn't even see that's moving. Send people to encourage her, to be a blessing to her in any shape or form. And that you're lining up the job just for her. Give her strength to wait. Let her see that it's worth the wait. I pray that she goes to sleep and she wakes up and just feel renewed strength, knowing that only God could have done that. Thank you, good Father. I know you're going to take care of her, and I appreciate it.
I come before you, Father God, and lift up Terry in Ohio. She's lost her husband, getting ready to say goodbye to his physical body. We pray from Isaiah 40:29 and 41:10. Lord, your word says that you give strength to the weary. Give Terry strength that comes directly from you for her to be able to navigate through this loss and all that lies ahead. Remove the fear of the future and comfort her in her weariness of the sorrow from losing her husband. On the DAB Friends page, Terry the Trucker has asked for prayers for his mother-in-law. She's awaiting benefits and being placed in a facility. Lord, we ask that she settle in and she enjoy the people around her. Give her perfect care and comfort her soul, Lord. Courteous in the Commonwealth has already ask us for prayer for the loss of the vehicle. You are the provider, Lord. Jehovah Jireh. We pray Philippians 4:19, for my God will supply all your needs. Make all a grace abound to them, Lord. And we pray that they lack no good thing. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and honor and glory.
Hello, everybody. My name is Valerie, and I live in Northwest Arkansas. I really need prayer. I've been struggling with deep, debilitating grief over my son, Ben, who passed away from pancreatic cancer on August 2nd, 2024. The first 17 months, I seemed to be kind of numb and kind of in a daze, which I think back now was probably good. But since January of this year, the reality of his death has hit so hard. And I miss him so much, and I always have a sick feeling in my gut. And I cry, and I don't want to do anything, and I just think about him all the time. Ben was my very best friend. He was a child after my own heart. And I really need help, you all. Thank you for your prayers.
Hi, this is Susie from Colorado, and I'm calling for Terry from Ohio, who lost her husband of 48 years, and you were on the way to the funeral home to say goodbye. And I gotta say, I listened to you twice, really, in the spirit, and I hoped and prayed that the spirit would be just through your whole body and mind and comfort you. You said the words, probably, that every wife who adores a very, very good husband dreads saying and feeling one day. And I'm starting myself to realize that as we get older, that is inevitable unless Jesus comes back. But I really, really want you to know, Terry, how very, very deeply I'm praying for you. And I don't know you, but I truly, my heart is with you, and I know every single person on this family prayer is too. God bless you, and please let us know how you're doing.
Hello, again, this is just Judy from Wilton, California. I'm asking for prayers for a wonderful, wonderful sister-in-law, and sister at heart, actually, is what she is. I've known her for 60 years, or over 60 years. She was married to my brother for about 50 years, and he passed, and she now is laying in bed, comatose, from the effect of 3 strokes. And I ask for prayer, for mercy for her, so she don't have to suffer. And people, brothers and sisters out there, that I know you have the power of prayer, and Susan from Canada, you are one of them. I love to hear your prayers. You prayed for my husband so many years ago, and I appreciate it, and I've never forgotten it. I thank you so much for praying for Brian Fernandez. He has ALS, and he's 51 years old, and you don't beat ALS. ALS beats you. But his mind is still good. He's God's child. And, Lord, I just ask a miracle. Somehow, I know God can do miracles. I know he can. So, Lord, I'm praying. I'm begging. I'm asking. I'm knocking. I am asking you to do miracles for Brian. Let him be your miracle child. Bring him up out of the depths of hell that he has found, that disease has got him in. Lord Jesus, it's hard on my daughter. I mean, she's only 48. Oh, Lord, we need you so badly. We need your prayers, people. I need you guys to pray hard for Brian Fernandez and Beverly Allen. It's just me. I'm nobody, nobody special. But I am a prayer warrior, and I do ask for prayer for these two wonderful, wonderful people. And my daughter, Shannon Fernandez, she needs prayer too. She's the one that's coping with this disease also. Thank you, people. Thank you, prayer warriors. Thank you, Audio Bible. Thank you so much for the prayers. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Jill. Thank you guys so much. And thank you, Susan from Canada. You are wonderful. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Danielle calling in from Saskatchewan, Canada. And I have a prayer request for my fiance and I. We are getting married in June, and life is pretty up in the air for us right now. I have applied to 2 different physiotherapy schools to start my master's, hopefully, this coming fall. One school is here in the city where we are living, and one is in my home province. Both have great benefits if I were to get into either. This is my 3rd time applying, so I'm hoping that this is the time the Lord has in mind for both, for me. Anyways, if I get into the school out of province and not here where I'm currently living, then my fiance and I will not have a place to live currently for about 1.5 months after we get married in June. So we would both really love to be able to stay here. If you could keep us in your thoughts and your prayers, and pray that I get into this city here, or if we have to move, that we will be provided with a place to stay for that small gap period. My fiance is also looking for work, so that has been an added stressor, as he's a student and is needing a summer job. Love you all, and thank you for your prayers.